Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson, and with me today is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Not with me today, but definitely with us in spirit, is Pastor Joe Schimmel, who is on his way home right now, and he will be back next week for the full allotment of shows. And actually, we already have the topics that we're going to be talking about, and I know for a fact he's up there studying where he was. He was up there studying these topics. It's something that we're all passionate about. We had a question that actually came in, and we said we need to talk about this on four different episodes because this is a very, very important topic. So I'm not going to bury that lead just yet. I'll wait till next week to get you guys hearing that. It's really important. But today is a topic that is of great importance as well. As you see, the title of the show is Stephen Furtick is Dangerous. And the reason why I say that is because I know a lot of blood-bought believers. I know a lot of believers. In fact, one of them said, I don't agree with this, but told my wife that I remind them of the Stephen Furtick. And I was like, I have no idea why someone would say that. But nonetheless, I was like, okay, I don't teach like that. But I noticed that a lot of people will listen to him and think, oh, this guy's a great teacher. And some of the things are really motivating and he'll throw some scriptures in there. But there are a lot of teachings that are they're non-biblical. They're anti-scriptural. Some of them are just verses taken way out of context. And then there are things that are dangerous. And that's what we're going to get into. I'm going to play a little clip. And guys, I'm not like taking him out of context. I'm not just grabbing random clips that I found in a large teaching. This is a clip that Elevation Church, his church, shared to promote Stephen Furtick's teaching and their church. So they think that this was a good word of God that was shared. They think this was properly exegeted from the text, and that it'd be great to share it and get people to hear this teaching. So I'm going to play a clip for it, and then we're going to look at the context of what he's even talking about.
Wheat is actually the wheat, but you won't know if you don't let it grow. And you keep running from hard stuff, and you keep rejecting the things that don't feel good to you. But both grow together, and that's why you can never stop sowing. That's why you can never stop praying. That's why you can never stop knocking and asking and believing and moving forward. Because the seeds of this next success might be in this failure. And so never stop sowing. And it's all right. And God, I don't understand. Even Jesus said, when the sower went out to sow, the enemy sowed weeds among the wheat. There will always be the presence of something to choke out the blessing of God. But don't stop sowing. The wheat can grow with weeds around it. Joy can grow in dark places. Your hope can stay alive even in a dark season of your life.
Tony, do you know where he got that text?
Where he would, what were the seeds that were sown?
The parable of the sower, guys, is a really interesting one, but it's less interesting when we let Jesus tell us the meaning of the parable. So I'm actually going to read from the text where Jesus talked about this parable, and you tell me if it lines up with Stephen Furtick and what he said. Matthew 13, 18 through 23. He says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, This is the man who hears the word and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You see, that parable has nothing to do with sowing blessings of success, okay? The keep coming and knocking. There are texts that we could go to and talk about going to the Lord over and over and asking him for a blessing. And why do we ask him? It should be of right motives. We just went over that on one of the shows last week. And another one we did with Joe on prayer and what kind of motives you're coming with. Not just so you can sow a seed of success, but sow a seed that would bring forth spiritual success, that you would grow. And that still has absolutely nothing to do with this text. And guys, this is the video that was shared by Elevation Church to promote their teacher. It literally shows that he is inept and does not care about context. Either he is ignorant of this text, and we can all misspeak, but it's weird to promote you misspeaking.
Yeah, right.
But also, guys, that or he has no idea what the context is. He doesn't care about the context and is throwing his sword out there like a crazy person. That's nonsense, guys. And this becomes dangerous. That sounds silly. I'm not going to lie. Listen, that sounds silly. And if that's the only thing that I heard, I'd be like, okay, that's a little weird and it's very prosperity-ish. That's one of the worries of the bad soil. One of the things that Joe loves to do when he shares the gospel, and I've taken this as well when people want to come up and receive the Lord, one of the things he takes them through is that parable. And that's why it was on my heart. And that's why when I saw this video, I was like, what on earth is he talking about? Because we want to make sure that you're the good soil, that you're the third soil. You're not the first two. You don't let the worries and the cares of this world take you away. You don't let the deceitfulness of wealth or pleasure take you away. Okay? You want to make sure that you're the good soil. Okay? It's very, very important. And I want to point this out, guys, because I think this happens too. I believe there's plenty of people at Elevation Church. There's plenty of people that listen to Steve Furtick that love the Lord. Ultimately, it's because of the Lord and the power of his word and the power of his seed, which is the word of God. Okay, and Philippians 1 actually tells us this. Also, in Isaiah, we know that the word of God never comes back void, that it always has a perfect purpose that God accomplishes through it. But in Philippians chapter 1, Paul's in prison and says this. He says, now, verse 12, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak of the word of God without fear. I love that. Just getting that perspective of Paul gets in prison and now all these people are coming to the Lord. It's awesome, right? But what happens with this preaching? He says, verse 15, some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. So these guys that are preaching, that are doing it for the wrong motives, that aren't out of love, are doing what? Doing it to cause him distress in his imprisonment. Even though all this is wicked, he says this in verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. So, even so, I'm not going to tell you, oh, that's awesome that Stephen Furtick is up there preaching false doctrine. No, it's terrible and it's horrible. And I pray that God will pull people out of that church. But what I am saying is if you're somebody who listened to a gospel message and came to the Lord through something that he presented, I'm not saying you're not saved. Okay, that's all I wanted to put out there. And there's plenty of teachers like that. And I think that his teaching is dangerous, not only from the little bit we just heard, but from an encounter he had with a local DJ from out here named Charlemagne the God. And I'm going to be honest with you. I watched the entire clip of this series he did where he would sit down with different people. And he sat down with Charlemagne And it was supposed to be, I thought, to share the gospel. And then he was going to show this clip, and he did, to his entire fellowship. And I thought, wow, that's okay. Let's check it out. Let's look at it. I want to see the whole thing. So I've watched it 4 or 5 times. And a lot of it was awesome. There was a lot of great discussion, a lot of good conversation. Some of the stuff, I think, tapers on the critical theory, which I believe is anti-biblical. But I also believe that a lot of it came from earnestness and maybe from a pure heart, I think, that he wanted to have a conversation and maybe try to share the gospel with him. But when you have false teaching, when you take the scriptures and you take a chainsaw to them in your exegesis, I think this is where the dangers come up. And this is why we have to look at it and say, wait, why is Stephen Furtick dangerous? Why does this false interpretation, why not even knowing who the sower and the seed and the soil are, why are you talking about successes when we're talking about literally people coming to the gospel? And why it's dangerous when we have this sort of spiritual idea when we read the scripture, okay, instead of understanding it in its proper context and caring what it has to say. Tony, I'd like to pull up that first clip of this encounter they had.
The Christian faith that I first entered into when I was studying to be a pastor was so dogmatic. But what that does, it keeps you very ignorant to anybody who really holds any other beliefs, because your whole goal is to convert them the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I go back to.
You know, I think that's really interesting that the dogmatism of God's sufficiency in his word says that that made him ignorant of what other people believed. Did Paul seem ignorant of what other people believed? Certainly not. When he went to Mars Hill and had the pantheon of gods there and said, oh, I know, here's a quote from your own poets. Over and over again, you see this. He wasn't ignorant. In fact, I was ignorant before I came to Christ. I didn't know what the Jehovah's Witness believe. I didn't know what the Mormons believe. I didn't know what the Hindus believe. I didn't know what Buddhists believe. I didn't even know what atheists believe, and I was atheist. That's when I was ignorant. Not when I finally understood that I had an objective truth to go back to. And that's what we're going to talk about here in a second. But I also need to point out something. His entire goal was to convert them. What on earth would be your goal with a non-believer? This person is poisoned. There's no doubt about it. The fatality rate is 100 out of 100. 100 out of 100 people die at some point in their life. They're going to die. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Could you imagine having the antidote, knowing what the antidote is, and being like, yeah, well, you know, my whole goal back then when I was brought up was, you know, to get them converted. You're darn right it is. They're walking in a lie. We have the truth. Love can't stay silent. We just had Ben Price on talking about audacity in that movie, Love Can't Stay Silent, and being an evangelist and sharing the gospel. How on earth could you stay silent? And how could you talk about that your job was to convert them? The Bible is so clear. Speaking of seeding, speaking of watering, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us who plants and who waters. We plant, we water, but who causes the growth? It's ultimately God's job, and he does a really good job at it. He's the one who causes the growth. And if we don't go out there saying, I do want to convert them, why would I have any other conversation with someone but to bring them to know the Lord? I want every single person to know Jesus Christ. Yes, if you don't hold fast the word of God, if you don't rightly divide it, you will be ashamed. If you don't care about it, you don't esteem it as Jesus did, come on, man. This is nonsense. So what's going to happen is you're going to see terrible exegesis from someone who said, oh, I don't want to be dogmatic about the scriptures because, you know, then I won't learn from other people. Are you kidding me? You can't learn something unless you're no longer dogmatic that the scriptures are the truth, that Jesus used those words in John 17:17. Now let's hear what Charlemagne has to say. Let's play the next clip.
When I talk about being morally honest, regardless of your belief, regardless of your religion, you are able to be objective. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
But in my training, that was almost seen as backsliding. Mm. It was almost, you're not being loyal to God's word or faithful to God's word if I'm not trying to change you, if what you believe is contrary to me. So I'm really not listening to what you believe or trying to filter if I believe it's true. I'm really trying to show you where you're wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know?
I mean, to me, I'm almost dumbfounded. First, it seems like, and he'll get into it, we'll talk about that before we play the next clip. He'll get a little bit into objective truth. But the fact is what is your standard? You want to be morally honest, Charlemagne. What is your standard for being morally honest? He thinks and he says that we can come up with it because it's innate. It's been made known to us in Romans chapter 1, it says that. And that's creation and the creative order. And guess what else? Our conscience bears witness against us. The Holy Spirit goes out convicting the whole world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Those things are true. God does that to call us to himself. But guess what? You're not the one who makes it up. God's the standard. And if you don't go back to his word, you have no standard. You need to have something to fall back on. And when Jesus says in John 17:17 that his word is truth, and that's the very barometer by which you will judge truth, then guess what? If you don't do it by that standard, you will flip and flop and go all over the place. You will look absolutely ridiculous. So when we talk about moral honesty brings us back to a standard. That standard of right and wrong comes from God. If it's God's word and he wrote it, it's perfect, because a perfect God can't write an imperfect word. That's the word of God that we have in our hands. How do we go away from the standard? And he says he's unfaithful to the scriptures by looking at what other people believe. Unfaithful. That's what he was taught, that he was being unfaithful because he knew what other false religions believed. Do you think Paul was ignorant of what other false religions believed? Do you think that Jesus Christ was ignorant of the false teachings of the Sadducees, the Herodians, and the Pharisees? Certainly not. That's why he whooped them every time he debated. He knew exactly what they believed, and he knew every argument. And guess what he always went back to? For it is written. When Satan came to him, for it is written. When we go away from our standard, when we throw away the sword, could you imagine going to the battlefield without your weapon? You'd look absolutely ridiculous. And that's what he's talking about doing here. I'm sorry, we have to go back to the Word of God. When we don't go back to the Word of God, it is dangerous. If we don't have chapter and verse, that's one thing that I love to ask someone. When they come up to me and they say, well, I believe this and I believe this in the church or out of the church, well, I have chapter and verse and I'll explain to you why I believe the Word of God, okay? But you have believers telling you what they believe, and if they don't have chapter and verse to back it up, I honestly don't care. I need to know, where is your standard? Because if your little brain can try to figure that out, okay, if you're going to put trust in your understanding rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to work through his word in your life to bring out a great understanding, you're going to fall into every trap. You're going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, it's sad because Furtick actually tries to go to a discussion about objective truth. And he talks about that with Charlemagne. It was right after Charlemagne started talking about privilege and how he needs to use his privilege in order to bring about truth in this regard and to try to help out anyone who is misogynistic and tell them that what they're doing is wrong, try to help out homophobia, to which, of course, Furtick keeps nodding his head during that discussion. And although he's sitting there listening to all this, he then talks about his talents and how he wants to encourage people to use their talents for the Lord. And it seemed a lot like he was encouraging Charlemagne to use those talents for, and if you know anything about the Breakfast Club and some of the stuff they talk about on there, some of the stuff that he says, pretty raunchy. Stuff that I personally wouldn't even talk about on this radio show because it is raunchy. And yet we look at Stephen Furtick and we see this, and I'm going to just tell you guys, I watched this clip. And in this clip, he is talking about how he grew up somewhat racist because of his father. Because he got beat up on a bus and came home, and then his father was like, I've been waiting to tell you this, and I want to tell you, basically told him that blacks were bad and they were after you. And Stephen Furtick tells about when he was in college, sharing the gospel, and his dad coming up to receive the Lord, and takes him to a black church on Father's Day, an all-black church, and his dad's singing and clapping because he came out of racism. I mean, it's really, it's a beautiful story. And then it was his last Father's Day with his dad, because his dad died not long after that. So a lot of this stuff, I mean, it's heart-wrenching, and you're watching it, and it really is playing to the emotions, and you're like, wow, this is pretty amazing. And he goes and he attempts to try to talk about objective truth, but then he goes all weird. And I'm not the only one who thinks that, okay? Because I'm going to play the clip. I'm not the only one who thinks he goes all weird, because he goes from talking about objective truth, talking about having a moral lawgiver, he calls it a referee or an umpire, I believe, and then he starts talking about the original meaning of sin, and then he goes on about stoning the prophets and calling good evil and evil good, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, because it's happened to me even recording shows, and it's happened to me sharing the gospel before, where you lose train of thought and you're trying to say a lot of things really quickly and get them across to make them understand, and you're like, wait a second, I got to third base without passing over second base, so I'm kind of out, you know? And so that can happen in the mind. I'm fully aware of that. And so I'll give the benefit of the doubt when it comes to that. But I will say, when he's presenting this, Charlemagne says what after this presentation? Tony, play that clip.
Well, that's all of the weirdness that gets into religion with me, and I think that's what kind of keeps people away from religion. And that's sad, because keeping people away from religion is keeping people away from God. Because in order to even get to that point where you say, I'm a spiritual person and not a religious person, you would have had to have had some type of religion.
You know what?
You know, it's interesting there, first of all, the weirdness in religion when he started talking about vocab tests and things right before that. But what's interesting is he wants people to be spiritual. And guys, let me tell you this right now. The reason why people want to be spiritual is because they want to be idolaters. That's the real reason. It's because I want to have God. Really, it's a God made in your own image. So I want to be spiritual. I'll say I pray. You talk to most people, they'll tell you, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. No, the problem is you're really religious. The problem is you worship something, and that something is you. You worship yourself. Your God is your belly, okay? And that's exactly what happens. And that's one of the biggest things you're going to hear out there, okay? More than atheism, if you're out in the workforce, okay, working with non-believers all the time, you'll probably hear that someone's spiritual before you will atheist. A lot of times, at least in my experience, that's something I hear all the time. Well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And he's like, well, you know, religion, it's a good thing because of this. It's a good thing when it's in the box that I want it to be in, right? It's a good thing when it's in this box. And basically, as long as what you're doing doesn't affect me negatively.
Or a lot of boxes.
Or a lot of boxes, yeah. No, amen. A lot of different boxes. It's that buffet. In fact, my wife, Holly, she was a religious minor when she got her degree. And one of the first courses she came to, and I think believe it's history, religion, or some class, and the teacher is like, I love America because in America we have buffet religion where you can pick parts of everything you want. And everyone thinks that this is like some newfound thing. And no, the fact is that this is simply just idolatry repackaged, and that's what we're getting involved in. But we are running out of time, so I have to play this clip because this is the most important part where I say he's dangerous. Why? All these things that we're leading up to, this clip is going to show you why it's so dangerous, why he is so dangerous, and because you're going to see him not be able to present the gospel in any way, shape, or form, and goes all awry. Play that clip, Tony.
Funny what you just said when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. People always use that scripture to say, so if you don't believe in Jesus, you can't get to God, which of course, as a Christian, we believe Jesus is the way to God. But he also said, I'm the gate. And what he was trying to say is like all the religious gatekeepers who think that they know who God is and who God accepts and who God doesn't, they're not the gate. I'm the gate. You know, he was expressing that as an inclusive statement, but people have used it so many times to shut the door on people from even exploring faith.
Now, I have to point this out. Why is it dangerous to not understand context? Why is it dangerous to not look at these scriptures? Why is it dangerous to not check out and make sure he's showing himself approved? John 10:7, the verse that he talks about, where Jesus says he is the gate or the door. John 10:7 says, so Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door or the gate of the sheep. I'm going to start in verse 1 so you get the context. This is Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. There is no more exclusive text than John 10, 1 through 10. Okay? To take that out of its proper context, that is butchering like I've never seen before. To say that him being the door, him being the gate, opens it to everyone is so unbelievably dishonest. Especially when for some reason he takes that verse with John 14:6 and he says, well, of course we believe as Christians that Jesus is the way to God. It's either true for everybody or it's not true for anybody. You understand that? If Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but through me. That isn't no Christian comes to the Father. No man, no human being, no one ever. If someone comes any other way to that door, they're not entering. They are a thief. They are a robber. They are a liar. They cannot enter. This is why it is so dangerous. He has a chance to share the gospel with a very well-known, I mean, presidential candidates go to have interviews with this man because they know the audience that he's going to reach. And he has the chance to present the gospel. And he literally says, you know those things that say Jesus is the only way? They're really inclusive. That's absolutely ridiculous. Could you imagine having the ability to share the gospel with this man who needs it? Who wants to be spiritual, who is an idolater, who needs the gospel of Jesus Christ, and hiding it behind your back? Why is it dangerous to look at clips where he doesn't even know who the sower and the seed are? Because it's the same person who doesn't even know what the gate is, doesn't even know that Jesus is the gate, and that gate, guess what, is the only way. If he tries to sneak in some other way, he's a thief, he's a robber, he has no chance of getting in. Stephen Furtick is dangerous because this false teaching is not the gospel. This false teaching is wrong on so many levels. And just as Jesus told the Pharisees, you are shutting out people from the kingdom of God and you don't enter yourself. I'm going to pray for Stephen Furtick. I'm going to pray for Charlemagne. I really want them to come to faith. We have an article on goodfight.org. And it literally says that. It says Relevant Magazine and Stephen Furtick are keeping Charlemagne from the kingdom of God. It's pretty good. I'm a little biased because I wrote it. But a lot of the material we talked about on this episode is in that article. So I'd love for you to check it out. This has been Tony Palacio and Chad Davidson of the Good Fight Radio Show. We thank you so much for joining us and God bless.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.